1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Switzerland's beleaguered Credit Suisse Bank has a buyer.
Deposits in Credit Suisse now on a much firmer footing with the announcement of a purchase of the Swiss bank by larger rival UBS. Art Hogan, chief market strategist at B. Riley, with why the news is reassuring on this side of the Atlantic.
What that does is reinstill confidence that we're not going to have a major banking event in the Eurozone. And if we can avoid that, we can likely avoid worries about contagion in the U.S. banking system.
Big picture, Hogan doesn't see systemic problems.
There are thousands of regional banks. We found three that were in trouble.
Saying the Swiss deal should give investors more confidence in the banking system as we begin a new week. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Chinese President Xi Jinping will meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin Monday and spend at least 2 days in Moscow. The world watching to see what comes of the meetings between the two leaders. Xi's government has not said what it hopes to accomplish, while Putin will likely seek support for his war effort in Ukraine. This is ABC News. The parents of a 20-year-old college wrestler in Kentucky who died of heat stroke has settled with the University of the Cumberlands for more than $14 million. The family's attorney says Grant Brace desperately tried to get water.
He was found collapsed nearby, not far from a shut-off water fountain.
He was on all fours, and he had dug his hands in the dirt.
Brace's parents accusing two coaches at the University of the Cumberlands in Kentucky of denying him water after a so-called punishment practice of sprinting up and down a hill with steep incline 7 times, according to the lawsuit.
Ultimately, it killed him.
In their lawsuit against the school, Brace's family claims the coaches in the wrestling room yelled at fellow student athletes who tried to provide him water, insisting Grant needed to get the water himself.
That's ABC's M. Nguyen. Scientists say they believe mysterious streaks of light that were seen in the sky over Northern California on Friday were burning up remains of space junk jettisoned from the ISS 3 years ago. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Sarah Gadlewski, who is the former state treasurer of Wisconsin, former candidate for U.S. Senate, and is founder of Women Win Wisconsin. Is that what we're calling you?
That's a good title. I'll take it.
It's easy to feel like we're alone amongst our estrogen, but that's not true, right? We have male allies.
The husbands, these partners, you know, male friends that are like, no, this is not okay.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. What is the most extreme thing you've ever done to stand up for something you believe in?
Ooh.
Have you tied yourself to a tree?
Glued yourself to a piece of art, perhaps?
Yes, poured... Dumped soup on a piece of classic art?
Yeah, don't do that.
Yes, what is the most extreme thing you've ever done to stand up for something you believe in? Because our first story we're talking about is one Nebraska state senator who is threatening to, quote, burn the legislative session to the ground over an anti-trans bill.
My goodness.
And... my feeling is good for her. Because I honestly, on my, we'll get into the details of the story, but my, I don't know the most extreme thing. I mean, I think the most extreme thing I do for the things I believe in is put myself on the internet and talk about it, but that's not unique.
Well, it's certainly not chaining yourself to something.
It's certainly not putting my life on the line.
Right.
And not that she's putting her life on the line, but she is potentially putting her career on the line, depending on what district she represents and what her constituents want, and also how much she is holding up the entire legislative session for Nebraska right now. So 844-967-2789, that's 844-96-PARTY. What is the most extreme thing you've ever done to stand up for something you believe in? And would you, if you had the power, do what this state senator in Nebraska is doing? So here's a little bit more details on the situation.
Okay.
That there was a development yesterday, so, but we'll give the backstory. All right. So Democratic State Senator Michaela Kavanaugh promised to filibuster every single bill that comes before the legislature, even the ones that she supports, even the one her brother, who is also a Nebraska state senator.
Is he a Democrat too?
I don't know. I'd have to go look that up. But even a bill that he authored, she was like, I will filibuster everything unless we get to at least debate this bill. And go ahead.
And what is that bill?
So, and the bill is... like we've seen in so many other states right now, especially other red states, it's a bill that would outlaw gender-affirming care for minors.
Okay. And so they have a bill that they don't even want to debate.
Yes.
Okay.
But here are some of the things that she's been doing. Because basically, she's been filibustering every single bill, which means for 8 hours a day, she's just talking.
And she's the only one talking.
And she's the only one talking because she's the only one doing this. But she said she has discussed her favorite Girl Scout cookies. She's talking about which donut place is Omaha's best. What's the best Omaha donut?
I'm sure that's very controversial.
The plot of the movie Madagascar.
Well, you got to fill the time with something, right?
And she even had strep throat for a week and still showed up and still filibustered every single day.
Sticking with her convictions.
8 hours a day. I mean, I thought talking on the radio for 3 hours a day was exhausting. This woman has conviction.
And stamina.
And stamina. I think we have one bite. You can hear a little bit of the tone that and how PO'd this woman is.
Your name's off of that piece of poop. LB 574, talk to the speaker, demand good governance. Be better. Be who the children of Nebraska deserve.
Piece of poop.
And
it's poop again.
And you could hear the slight gasp coming from the chambers because apparently that is a bad word in Oklahoma.
Well, they also tried to censure her.
For saying poop?
No. They, this was either early this week or late last week. Thursday's news, because we'll come back to where the update here. But there was a dust-up over Kavanaugh's characterization of passing LB 574 as akin to genocide, prompting State Senator Julie Slama of Sterling to propose censuring Kavanaugh, though the matter was not further pursued. So a different state senator wanted to censure her for comparing it to genocide.
And again, a censure does nothing.
I know.
It's a slap on the lawmaker wrist. Ooh, booga, ooh, ooh, terrible, ooh.
But so this was a great quote. So if this is a quote from State Senator Kavanaugh. If this legislature collectively decides that legislating hate against children is our priority, then I am going to make it painful. Painful for everyone. I will burn the session to the ground over this bill. And my take is, because I am pro-trans rights, I am pro-LGBTQ rights, I think it is abhorrent that these bills are sweeping the country. And if you listen to the show, you already know that. So in my view, I am cheering this woman on, right? Like, good for you.
You go, girl.
I do not know if I have the cojones. Because I don't, I mean, we've seen this with the state senator in Texas probably almost a decade ago now.
Wendy Rogers.
Yep. And that was over abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think of other.
I think Ted Cruz has done it, too. He read Green Eggs and Ham, I believe.
Because now, and this is the whole thing with the filibuster at the federal level now, that's like they don't even have to show up. They don't have to actually verbally be doing this anymore. And that's the point. They just have to have the votes to filibuster it. They don't actually, I think that's the case now. And that was the point of even the changes to the filibuster to actually, you have to actually be there and put in this kind of work
right.
to stop a bill versus just a vote or just like, I'm filibustering. It's like, that's, no, you have to, you know.
Come on.
Yeah, you have to stand there and pee your pants.
Put it out there.
And not stop talking if you're really convicted. And I'm trying to think of other, because the passion here I am in awe of, but I'm also trying to be fair that if this was a representative who was advocating and burning it to the ground over a bill I did not, over something that I was not in favor of, would I just be like, this is so annoying.
And what a waste of time.
Like, I'm trying to think if this happened in Wisconsin and nothing else. They haven't passed anything. They're halfway through the 90-day session.
In Nebraska.
They're halfway through their 90-day session and not a single bill has passed thanks to Kavanaugh's persistence. And the unique thing about Nebraska is that they only have one legislature. So they, instead of two houses, there are 17 Democrats. Like, there's only one chamber.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's the only state to have a single legislative chamber. And so the filibuster there is much more impactful than it is in any of the other states.
Okay.
Because there is no alternate chamber to keep legislation moving.
Right.
If she's just blocking everything. And she didn't cave. She negotiated. So this happened, I think this broke yesterday, that, yes, this was Thursday, that she made an agreement with another state senator that they are going to debate the bill, the anti-trans bill, on this coming Tuesday.
Okay.
Which is as soon as they can. That's the fastest state that they can actually do it. And in exchange, she will let some bills move forward. I think she even said, she was like, I was really looking forward to filibustering my brother's bill later today, but I want to be true to the agreement that I made with Senator Arch and really the agreement that I've made with this body. And so I'm going to take a break and let you all talk if you want to, or we'll get through the three bills on the agenda and have an early lunch break.
Don't you think? I just think constituents are tired, like here in Wisconsin, of the gavel in, gavel out. We're not going to talk about it. We're not even going to kick it around. It's supposed to be legislative debate in order to come to some kind of compromise. And I think we as constituents want to see that happen. That's why you're there.
Yeah.
To kick ideas around, to debate things, to compromise.
And I totally agree with you, because right now, at least in the back and forth of our state politics, it's whether or not it's just Evers versus the legislature, because they have such a high majority in both chambers.
Right.
And so there is so little, besides Democrats, you know, releasing their statements and their press releases on their opinions, it's not like that debate is happening in the state Senate or in the assembly.
Right.
Democratic bills don't get many hearings, barely make it out of committee, really don't get passed. And so many of the Republican bills, even if they get passed, a lot of them get vetoed. And so, yeah, you're right. Like, we don't have that kind of debate. But I also don't know, like, has anything like this ever happened in Wisconsin where one person, like around Act 10, like, people left the state. So that was kind of akin maybe to this. But as far as Wisconsin,
one lawmaker standing up and
political history, is there any examples you can think of where it felt this one person taking on the whole legislature or taking on the whole system?
Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
Yeah. So let us know. 844-967-2789. One, what is the most extreme thing you've ever done to stand up for something you believe in? And two, if you have any history lessons for us of a time where something similar happened in Wisconsin, because I wasn't here, so I can claim ignorance. But 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And to you, I see you're wearing green.
I am wearing green. Mike is already drinking.
Oh, geez.
I was not able to partake.
Is Samson Irish?
No.
Okay.
I think he's mostly Norwegian. I actually don't know what the breakdown of his whole family tree. I think he's mostly Norwegian. I am also not Irish. My grandfather, who passed last October, always wanted to be Irish.
Oh, really?
Like, really badly. He had an Irish temper. He loved, you know, the whole ethos of Ireland and not the Irish and stuff. Not Irish. So no, I am not Irish, but still partake. Everyone's a little Irish today, right? Isn't that the point? But yes, in the third hour, we are going to have some St. Patrick's Day fun. We will talk some about some fun facts about the holiday, but also a debate on an SNL sketch about Colin Farrell, and some Irish were very offended by it. And there was a debate around that. But also, I kind of want to bring it back to Wisconsin because I feel like it taps into one of those things. And for the Irish, but same thing for like Wisconsin. It's like, we can make fun of us. You can't make fun of us. If you're an outsider, you can't do it. But we can lean into our stereotypes, but you can't. And so, but you know what I heard this morning? And then we'll get back to the topic at hand. But the worldwide, there's 70 million Irish descendants, while there's only 7 million, including Northern Ireland, current Irish people.
So there are about 7 million people in Ireland.
There's about 7 million people in Ireland today, their current population. But because of the famine and how many people left, worldwide there's like 70 million Irish descendants.
That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible?
Yes, it is.
So we'll talk a little bit about that too. And then, you know, arguably the stake that Irish Americans have on St. Patrick's Day. But we are talking about what has gone on in the Nebraskan legislature.
Of all places.
Of all places, which, you know, they have a Republican governor. They only have one chamber in their legislature, so they don't have a state senate and an assembly. They just have one, and they're outnumbered almost 2-1, they being Democrats. There's 17 Democrats, 32 Republicans, and so you'd think that there's a lot of chances that Republican-backed bills would just go right through.
Sail through.
And because there's no there's no governor to veto it, and not enough votes to ever challenge it. But one state senator has taken upon herself to, quote, burn it all down if the legislature tries to pass a ban on gender-affirming care for minors. And as I said, my bias in this situation is that I am in favor of not having bills like this get passed. So I look at her and go, Good for you. Holy. Wow. And hearing her talk and the stamina and conviction she's had to be talking 8 hours a day for the last 3 weeks, to the point that literally they have not, they're halfway through their session. So they're 45 days into their 90-day session, for give or take a day, and they haven't passed anything.
And I don't know if you know this. Do legislatures ever go into overtime when they don't get anything done? Do they ever stick around longer to actually, I don't know, do their jobs?
I don't know. I don't know what the rules are for that.
We'll find out.
As far as like just rolling things over into the next session?
No, I think they should have to stay until they get something done. That's their punishment.
But what if they, yeah, I don't know. Maybe some civics professor will let us know. But I just, like, what, I'm trying to play this out if this were to happen in Wisconsin. And I don't think it will, because like the way that this could potentially happen in Wisconsin would have been had Tim Michaels won. Because I'm trying to think, you know, my memory of the Walker years is a bit foggy because I was not here. And so my, you know, most of the things I know about it, there's things I've learned since coming back, or things that were such a big deal that they made the national news, like the Act 10 protests.
Right.
And so I think to a certain extent, my first example that of Democrats during those years trying to do something that's similarly extreme was when they just left the state so they couldn't vote, right?
Yes.
And yeah. But beyond that, I mean, I'm trying to imagine a situation of which there's a handful I could imagine doing this, like currently.
We do have a texter checking in from the 414. Unless we get rid of the gerrymandered legislature, nothing useful is going to get done in Wisconsin either. Look at the last election. Multiple times they gaveled in and immediately gaveled out. Two of the previous 3 years, they met for only one third of the year or less. Yet the Republican majority not only saw zero consequences, it nearly increased to near veto proof. And again, this just brings home the point of why this April 4th Supreme Court election is so critically important. If you are sick of them being able to get away with that and gaveling in and gaveling out, we need to get rid of the gerrymander.
Which is a good reminder. Where are we on 15 days? No, 16. How many days? Tuesday will be 14 days. So 15, 16, 17, 18 days till the election?
Sure.
18 days. The election is April 4th.
Yes.
Early voting for most places is going to start March 21st, which is Tuesday. And so you can still get your absentee ballot. I would recommend going to get that now. If you want to vote by mail, you can vote early starting next week in most places. But you'd still make a plan to vote April 4th. You can check out what is on your ballot already. Yeah. Myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. And when we come back, we are going to get to some a random grab bag of headlines, some of which are sad, many of which are kind of goofy and funny. So it's Friday, St. Patrick's Day. Come back.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Switzerland's beleaguered Credit Suisse bank has a buyer.
Deposits in Credit Suisse now on a much firmer footing with the announcement of a purchase of the Swiss bank by larger rival UBS. Art Hogan, chief market strategist at B. Riley, with why the news is reassuring on this side of the Atlantic.
What that does is reinstill confidence that we're not going to have a major banking event in the Eurozone. And if we can avoid that, we can likely avoid worries about contagion in the U.S. banking system.
Big picture, Hogan doesn't see systemic problems.
There are thousands of regional banks. We found three that were in trouble.
Saying the Swiss deal should give investors more confidence in the banking system as we begin a new week. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Chinese President Xi Jinping will meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin Monday and spend at least 2 days in Moscow. The world watching to see what comes of the meetings between the two leaders. Xi's government has not said what it hopes to accomplish, while Putin will likely seek support for his war effort in Ukraine. This is ABC News.
Kids, they're just different than us.
They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at LLS.org.
Dear Hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. A very happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you out there celebrating. Did you pull some St. Patrick's Day music?
Yes.
All right.
That's for the last hour.
Todd Alba had a lot of St. Irish. I think it was the Irish Kings. They were playing that like every bumper music.
This
like,
morning?
Yeah. I don't know if Todd's Irish. Luke Mathers might be here later.
Is supposed to be here later.
Is he? He must be Irish. He said his dad is very into
St. Patrick's Day.
Mm-hmm. And so, but some people, you know, like I said, my husband's already out really taking advantage of St. Patrick's Day. And so we're headed to Wisconsin Rapids later today. And I have a feeling I might be the one driving.
I think that would be wise.
Yeah, I think that would be wise. Mm-hmm. And so there's no guarantees. It is one of his favorite. I think it might be his favorite holiday.
Really?
Yeah. He likes to party.
I like to party.
And yet you're not wearing any green.
But I'm not Irish, and I'm half Lithuanian, so I am waiting for, it's half Lithuanian Day. And because from what we know of our relatives who came from Lithuania, they were a kind of peasants.
Okay.
We think they were pig farmers.
Okay.
And so in my idealized version of it's half Lithuanian Day, we just sit around and tell stories about pig farming, and then we drink vodka with no ice because who could afford ice?
Well, for what it's worth, on behalf of the government of the United States of America, I send congratulations to all Lithuanians as you celebrate your independence on February 16th.
Is that our day?
It might be your day.
February 16th.
But I also just Googled Lithuania Day, and it said Saturday, March 11th, oh. Day of Restitution of Independence of Lithuania. So we have conflicting reports.
We might.
Oh,
just,
you have to know. It says, well, why does Lithuania, why can't I say it?
Lithuania.
Lithuania celebrates two Independence Days. So you get two.
Oh, great.
Does it mean double the fireworks?
I'll get on that next year.
all right. Well, Friday grab bag of headlines. This first one, we're going to start sad and then get into not goofy, just kind of some odd headlines I saw this morning. But the worst one, I think, in my opinion, coming out of today is what is still a problem in the U.S.? Maternal death rates.
Unbelievable.
For the fourth straight year in 2021, new data shows that there was 32.9 deaths per 100,000 live births, and that is a 40% increase in 2021.
40%?
It was a 40% increase from 2021, from 2020 to 2021. And, you know, despite being one of the wealthiest countries in the world, we have seen a rise in maternal death rate for years, despite medical advancements.
Yeah.
And like so many health conditions, it is worse for Black women, who are nearly three times more likely to die during childbirth than white women.
It's just hard. I don't want to believe that those numbers are real.
It's because it's preventable. Right? It's stuff that, and this is what's interesting, is just how little, my friends who have had babies, you know, the fact that there still is no, like the unscientific way they choose due dates is still just based off of your best guess of what the last day of your last period was.
Oh, so it's your best guess.
Your best guess of it. It's like, so unless you're like, I think it was January 5th. Like, I don't know. You know, like you look at a calendar, you're like, I think that was the day right. Well, I was still, you know, it, like, not to get too graphic, but you're like, well, like, what is the actual last day? Is it just like nothing at all?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
And, but you know, like, and there's nothing more scientific than that. And then, you know, you get to your due date, and despite the unscientific nature of which they picked it, if you get too overdue, then they have to induce you.
Right.
Which the amount of stories I've heard of my friends who were overdue, had to induce, were in labor for 40 hours, and then got a C-section because the baby just wouldn't come out naturally, is like, that sounds like my worst nightmare.
Well, again, pregnancy is dangerous.
I know.
Being pregnant is inherently dangerous.
It is. That was what we sacrificed as a species. To be able to walk upright, we narrowed our hips and made childbirth harder for women, because every other female species, mammal species, does not go through
what
the same.
Humans, yeah.
Yes. It is not as dangerous to have to procreate for female species besides humans. And it's all because we had to walk upright.
Oh, fine.
We had to not walk on our knuckles and hind legs. Oh, but you know what might help? If maybe in Wisconsin, at least in what we can control here, we gave women receiving Medicaid more than 60 days of maternal care, which some people are trying to advocate for, and you'd think for all of the pro-life anti-abortion people out there,
exactly,
saying they want to support women,
we love babies,
that they would be behind this. But under the current law, extended Medicaid benefits are available for at least 60 days after giving birth for those who qualify. But there is some legislators who want to extend postpartum Medicaid coverage to a year, which seems reasonable to me.
Well, if we're going to take this stance that life is precious and it's all about life and we want women to feel welcomed in having children, then we need to set up some things to actually support that.
Yes. And so, you know, this is now, we are now one of the last 10 states that has not expanded Medicaid. Even North Carolina has done it.
North Carolina, where they want to execute women?
Is that North Carolina or South Carolina?
One of the Carolinas.
But yeah, we're still holding strong on not expanding Medicaid. And I am not holding my breath that this expansion for new moms would happen, but at least someone's suggesting it. But
putting it out there.
But all right. So now on to some funnier. I mean, maybe this isn't funny, but it is random. And I was like, how? So, coconut milk. Now, this is a good question. Is it coconut juice or is it coconut milk?
It's coconut juice.
All right.
It's not milk.
Do you like coconut?
Juice. I mean, I like coconut.
So, like, would you cook with, like a coconut cream pie or something like that?
But from what I understand, because it's all coconut oil now is a big thing, there are environmental ramifications from these fads that go around, and isn't coconut oil and coconut juice one of those things now, and we're deforesting all kinds of areas because everybody's got to have their coconut milk?
Well, that's not quite where we're going, but you think about the canned, like, think of the, like, old school canned coconut milk for, like, cooking, and it's, like, the red can, and the brand is called Thai. So Thai coconut milk. Can you envision it?
Yeah.
So earlier this month, HelloFresh, the... meal delivery, said it'll stop buying Thai coconut milk this summer and will find a new supplier. This after a PETA report found that monkeys in Thailand are being abused and used to harvest coconuts. And monkeys seem like a pretty self-sufficient, like they seem like animals with a fair amount of agency. So I was like, how are they getting, I feel like they're like, they could run away and like scurry away from you pretty easily.
Yeah, but if you got them chained.
But how do you chain them and then also have them go get all the coconuts?
It's a really long rope.
I'm so confused of how this actually works, but Thailand has approximately 80% of the market share for coconut milk in the U.S., and exports 78,000 tons in 2020 alone.
Wow.
And in 2019, PETA started investigating the alleged animal exploitation, and it's been pushing retailers and brands to stop selling coconut milk allegedly made with coconuts harvested by monkeys. The monkeys have been kidnapped, you're right, chained and whipped. PETA has found and documented. There's no pictures.
Good.
But I'm also wondering, like, what... Because I've gone to Bali, and I have pictures of, like, the monkeys. They're, like, they climb all over you. If you have food, like, they're going to be on you, and you just have to, like, be chill.
Right.
But I'm trying to imagine, like, they're squirrely. Of, like, how you... And, like, monkeys can... Depending on the size of the monkey, like, a chimp will kill you. And so I'm trying to just imagine what kind of monkeys these are and how they are able to... capture them and get them to do what they want.
It's called abuse,
I guess. But anyways, so don't buy Thai coconut milk, apparently.
Yeah, don't do that.
To see if there's any other suggestions on better products. But
use oat juice. No oats were abused for the juice.
That's true. Because even almond milk... Because it takes a lot more to grow almond trees.
It takes a lot of water. A
lot of water. So yeah. I think as far as sustainability, and I could be wrong here, of all the dairy replicas that are not actually dairy, they're plant juices of some sort, the most sustainable is oat milk. But probably eventually someone's going to say why that's bad too.
Oh, of course.
All right. So... Back in the 80s, flashback, cocaine production reached its highest point ever following a slump during the pandemic.
Oh, well, so the cocaine producers have gotten they're back on their feet.
Back on their feet. I'm also wondering, why was there a slump during the pandemic? I felt like, because it was just not a lot. Of, like, it's, I guess it's kind of a party drug. So you're just doing, like, racking lines by yourself.
Where are you going to meet your dealer? I don't know.
Yeah,
cocaine, everything was closed.
Cocaine production at its highest level on record says UN.
Oh, great.
Increased coca bush cultivation and improvements in the conversion process from coca plant to cocaine has helped production boom. Despite continued efforts by law enforcement to crack down on cocaine use, global demand for the drug has only grown.
Oh, people.
The curbs on passenger travel during the... It was the travel that, put it down.
They couldn't move it.
The curbs on passenger travel during the COVID-19 pandemic accelerated the use of parcel and courier services for drug... accelerated? That seems like a backward sentence. The curbs on passenger travel during COVID-19 pandemic accelerated the use of parcel and courier services for drug transportation.
So they were sending them more through the mail.
But does that mean that that's why it was also slower during the pandemic?
Well, Louis DeJoy was in charge, so things were slow.
Yeah, fair. In other state news, very important, Wisconsin Republicans released bill to create an official state rifle. Because we need the robin as our state bird. We don't officially have a state cheese because Colby wants to tries that every couple of years.
Too many potential fights.
I won't do that. Obviously the badger. What else do we have? State.
There's a state wildflower.
State wildflower.
Right. I mean, there's all kinds of state symbols.
But now we may have a state. Honestly, I don't care about this one. I think it's kind of funny. And they try to make the point of like hunting is a big deal here, which is true. I don't even know. It's the Wisconsin manufactured Henry all weather 45-70 would be designated as the state's official rifle. I don't care. I just think it's hilarious. It kind of reminds me of the Colby cheese official bill.
See, and this makes me really angry.
Does it?
Makes me really, really angry. Yes.
Just because it's a waste of time or because
it's an enormous waste of time. And this is coming off of Republican lawmakers in Washington who were wearing AR-15 pins. And there was a push to make the AR-15 the official gun of the United States.
Oh, well, that would, yeah.
So I just think that this is an offshoot of that, and it makes me really angry.
All right, well, you want something in the last minute that will make you less angry?
Sure.
Because yesterday, by mascot alone, you chose the Princeton Tigers over the Arizona Wildcats because you thought a tiger could beat a wildcat.
Was that a good decision?
And Princeton upset Arizona. They were a 15 seed, and they've wrecked a lot of people's brackets because Arizona went down in the first round. So for once, your method worked.
On very rare occasions. Yeah.
the cheese tax.
You gotta pay the cheese tax every time you're cooking. When the cheese comes out, this puppy comes looking. The rules are the rules and the facts are the facts. And when the cheese drawer opens, you gotta pay the tax.
The cheese tax, the cheese tax.
Hand it over quick or things might get ugly.
It's that's so awesome.
Welcome back. The cheese tax. Do you know what the cheese tax is? 844-967-2789. If you have any guesses or if you know.
We want to hear from you.
We want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. It has to do with why we can't ban TikTok. This is we can't ban TikTok because then we wouldn't have a cheese tax. That is my argument.
It's about the quality content, right?
It's the quality, creative, goofy content and the way things become a trend and the inside joke of the people who see it and get it. And it's so fun and so stupid. But we didn't get to this yesterday when we were doing our grab bag with Todd. But on Wednesday, the social media app, TikTok, said the Biden administration demanded that the Chinese company that owns TikTok, ByteDance, has to sell the app. And TikTok has more than 100 million users in the U.S.
Is that the most popular platform now?
No, I think there's still like monthly unique users. It always kind of goes back and forth, but it depends on age demographic. I think for young people, it goes back and forth between YouTube and TikTok.
Okay.
But, I mean, 100 million users. But it's also, it's one thing for people to log in. It's also time spent on the app, like per use.
Oh,
I think actually blows Instagram and Facebook out of the water. And that's part of the problem here, that without getting into a bigger debate of if TikTok, for those of us who like TikTok and spend time on it, we all know that I am one of those people. The frustration is not wanting to just give in and be like, well, if it goes away, we can do Facebook and Instagram. Because the huge lobbying push, this isn't just about Mike Gallagher all of a sudden was like, oh, this could be dangerous. There was millions and millions of dollars spent in lobbying because from Meta.
Oh, which owns Facebook.
Which owns Facebook and owns Instagram, because Reels cannot keep up. Reels, which is on Instagram, cannot compete with TikTok. It is an inferior product. Facebook is not good at it created the original product, and that's it, which arguably Zuckerberg stole.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bought Instagram before it was really big at all. Then they tried to buy Snapchat, and when the founder of Snapchat wouldn't sell to him, they just recreated it with stories on Instagram. And they just buy things. They don't create things anymore. And when TikTok started taking their user share away, it's like, well, if I can't beat them,
I'll kill them.
This way, I'll just pay the lobbyists to go argue why this is dangerous for the United States. And so there's a lot of users who are like, well, why would we go support and make content for? So I think, I don't know, if this happens, potentially go on YouTube with YouTube Shorts. But my point on this Friday, St. Patrick's Day, is that we can't get rid of TikTok because then we wouldn't have creative songs like the cheese tax. Let's play a little bit more of that song.
It's so wonderful.
The cheese tax.
You gotta pay the cheese tax every time you're cooking. When the cheese comes out, this puppy comes looking. The rules are the rules and the facts are the facts. And when the cheese drawer opens, you gotta pay the tax.
The cheese tax. The cheese tax.
Hand it over quick.
So what you're missing, and we'll put it on today's show notes, but what you're missing is the fact that it's the original video that's now been recreated hundreds of thousands of times.
I'm sure.
Is the cheese taxes for your dog. And
yeah.
Your dog is asking you to pay the cheese tax because every time you open your refrigerator and you pull any cheese out, you have to give some of it to your dog.
It's the law.
It's the law.
Yeah.
And so much, because then it creates things like this. Because from this viral cheese tax song, which describes how dog owners eating cheese have to pay the cheese tax and give their pups a piece. Now Kraft Singles is giving out cheese tax packs for dog owners inspired by the viral TikTok song.
That is really remarkable, though, Kristen, that it is that TikTok is that powerful yep. to spawn all these imitators, and now a major company is jumping on it. That's really something.
And so, yeah, Kraft Singles took inspiration from the viral Cheese Tax song and created a limited edition Cheese Tax pack for you and your pup. The popular song, which was created by Puppy Songs founder and musician Matt Hobbs, is a tune inspired by how dog owners often give cheese to pleading pups. And so basically the latest Kraft Singles pack respects the Cheese Tax and includes 15 slices for humans and one for furry pets. And I will say, Cliff loves Kraft Singles.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
More so than a fine Gruyere?
I don't think we've given him Gruyere, but he does. I mean, we have an entire Costco pack of Kraft Cheese Singles, mostly exactly for the purpose of Mike grabbing one for himself and then giving one to Cliff. Because I do not eat that.
Well,
it's a cheese product. It's not actually cheese.
When they have to clarify that it's food, that always makes me suspicious. Cheese food? Oh, okay. But it's hilarious. We all know what happens when they hear that wrapper. When you unwrap a cheese slice, it's just like zing.
It's that. Also in our house, Ritz crackers. Cliff really loves Ritz crackers.
Okay.
And so as soon as he hears that wrapper open, I mean, really with Cliff, it's anytime you are in the kitchen, his little head pops over and is like, what are you doing? What are you gritting? Can I have some?
You have thumbs. Give me some.
Yes. Even I had a popsicle last night and he was looking at me like he wanted to lick it. And I was like, this is not for dogs. You're not going to like this. For so many other reasons of it's frustrating because for those of us who are very online.
And create content,
but also create community. Distribute information there. The fact that Twitter feels kind of broken in some ways as far as what the hell they're doing over there. TikTok might be going away. Instagram and Facebook just has been broken. And it's not a done thing. I mean, maybe they will sell the company.
And there's nothing else like TikTok. There's no other platform that is similar.
I mean, there's similarities, but the thing is, the difference with TikTok right now is everything else that's trying to replicate TikTok was already a different product. So like Instagram was originally just photos.
Right, right.
And then when they started doing any videos, you know, like IGTV at one point could be up to like 10 minutes. So they were trying to compete with YouTube. And YouTube is still videos. Like we stream every day on YouTube. Sure. And then we break up the hours, and so it's an individual video. But now YouTube has shorts, which are short vertical videos. And so everything, at least that I'm aware of, is in existing platforms that try to tack on this feature versus it being made to just be short videos. So, all right. Well, we got to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Switzerland's beleaguered Credit Suisse Bank has a buyer.
Deposits in Credit Suisse now on a much firmer footing with the announcement of a purchase of the Swiss bank by larger rival UBS.
Art Hogan, chief market strategist at B. Riley, with why the news is reassuring on this side of the Atlantic.
What that does is reinstill confidence that we're not going to have a major banking event in the Eurozone. And if we can avoid that, we can likely avoid worries about contagion in the U.S. banking system.
Big picture, Hogan doesn't see systemic problems.
There are thousands of regional banks. We found three that were in trouble.
Saying the Swiss deal should give investors more confidence in the banking system as we begin a new week. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Chinese President Xi Jinping will...